he could fill in Brother Larry's place. I'd like to hear him. So if I get done, Brother Wayne, you finish out, all right? Amen. I may leave off early. I had a good night's rest. Been good out, Brother Cecil, Sister Mary's, and I'll probably get in trouble and won't say this right and those kind of things. But I wondered if Brother Cecil Alls had done something that y'all was punishing him for. To have three preachers in his house or what, or if he was just hoarding the blessings, you know. I didn't know which way that was working, and so, but I know I'm enjoying the time, and it's really been a blessing to be with them and to be around Brother Arthur and Brother Cecil Bayard. And this will be one of those experiences in my life that, Lord willing, will stay with me, you know, and all, and so it's exciting now, and I've got over the nervousness part, and I may get nervous again, you know, before it's over with, and they may something come up, you know, I may get sick, just don't know what the Lord's got in store, but it doesn't matter. He's in charge, isn't he? He's got the grace. I like Paul's prayer, you know, and some years ago I heard somebody say that if you ask the Lord for something more than once, it's lack of faith. It's lack of faith if you ask the Lord for something more than once. You know, if you're sick and you say, Lord, give me some medicine, give me something, or just touch my body and heal me. And if you come back and ask him that same thing again, you're short of faith. And I always thought of Paul asking for three times, you know, there to get that taken care of. And Lord said, he gave him an answer, you know. Gave him an answer. So the Lord is going to take care of us, and we may not feel like he is sometimes, but he is, regardless. We're going to continue reading here in James and studying, and I said something a while ago. I thought I'd go through James a little faster than what I am and all. That's the Lord's business too, you know. If he gives me thoughts as I go through here and it stretches out, well, that's his doings too. I'm just trusting him and counting on him. I like what Brother Wayne said here. You know, it's about him. It's about him. And he's put things in our paths and in our lives that we've got to do for him. You know, it's just something. Just because I'm not getting along as fast as I thought I would in James doesn't mean a whole lot, you know. It's his business. So we'll start out here in verse 21. Kevin last night asked me, what's the title, you know, of the message? I said, well, very seldom do I title a message, folks. I don't know, Lord just hadn't laid that type of preaching or whatever in my path and all is pulling out a title and saying this is the title of it. So I said, you'll just have to say James through here and the scriptures or whatever, brother, and go on. Ask your dad what he labeled that the other day, you know, and see how it goes. But in verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so wherefore, you look back to what we seen last night. And look at it, and we've seen there where it says, the raft of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I thought about that, and it's interesting as you look back at that verse and talks about being slow to speak, slow to anger, and slow to wrath. Do you notice that slow? Because there's other scripture over here says, be angry and sin not. So we ought to get angry. We ought to get upset sometimes and all. I think about whenever Jesus went through the temple and overturned the money changers and run them out, you know. There's a time that we need to get angry, but we need to be careful and we need to be slow about it. And a lot of times things will work out a lot better as we're slow, but there comes a point whenever you have to fight, you have to be angry, you have to say, abortion, it's wrong. You know, you just have to, you can't just let it bypass. And pornography and this marriage thing, there comes a point that you just gotta, And usually that point is right off the bat, you say, you know, that abortion, I don't agree with you on it. You go ahead and say what you got to say, but, you know, so they know right up front, you know, that it's wrong. So we see all this, the raft and those kind of things, and then he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and severity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Wherefore lay apart. Get rid of that filthiness. Heard a young man that was saved some years ago, and he is one of these that you heard about the sailors, you know, cussing a blue streak, and he just brought up in that way, and the Lord saved him, and he had a battle of changing his words. You know, it don't always just happen like that. Lay aside, put aside, fight and say, Lord, I know I was raised up this way and that way. You've saved me. I got to put this stuff aside. You've delivered me from that. But every once in a while, it'll slip in there. But listen, if it slips in there just every once in a while, that slip's going to get further and further each time. If it's not getting further and further each time, you've got a problem.
Amen. That's right.
You got one of these things that... well, I'll just go to confession and go back out and get drunk the next week, and I'll go to confession. It won't be all right if you're doing that, folks. Something's not, you're not a new creature. You hadn't been changed inside yet, or you're not picking up and fighting the way that you're supposed to be fighting. You're not laying it aside. You're not getting it put away out of the way. And notice he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Receive. Oh, we've heard some good preaching this week, and we've heard some good singing and all. Receive that in. That'll help those times of get further and further apart.
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed in your life or not, after the Lord saved you, that there's a cycle in this sin thing. You can just about mark a month or a year or whatever that this particular besetting sin will come around to you. But the more you receive that word, that God's word, that engrafted word, the more you receive it and the further those things come, you know, that next time that yearly sin comes around or whatever, you might bypass it this year. Praise God. You're going to want to bypass it every year. If you don't want to bypass it, there's something wrong. You know, and all that engrafted word, receive it. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Which is able to save your soul. It's so good that you can lay down, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, and not worry about it. Wherever you're at, whether you're in Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, it don't make any difference. If the Lord has saved you and He's give you that assurance, and if you don't have that assurance yet, well, just keep on studying, keep on reading, and keep on doing, but to be able to get out and drive on these roads and just go through life knowing that whatever happens, if death comes, you're with Him. That engrafted word saved your soul. Oh, what a peace and joy it is. I worked with a guy that didn't have that, and he got upset with me from time to time because I knew I was saved. I knew that engrafted word that I'd received it, the Lord had saved my soul, and I knew without a doubt, and this was back years ago. And he just couldn't understand that and all, and he'd get on to me every once in a while, and he says, listen, David, you might be president one of these days. In other words, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. You know, you might be president one of these days. I says, that's real good. I like that. You're right. I might be. It's not likely this old Arkansas hillbilly and those kind of things, you know. It's not likely that I'll be president, but it could happen. You know, there's that possibility. And I looked at him. I says, if I get to be president, do you think I'll know that I'm president? He said, oh, wait a minute. That's not a good illustration. Not a good illustration. You know it, folks. Over in John, 1 John 5 and 13, isn't it, I believe. You know, whenever the Lord saves you, and I realize, as I mentioned the other night, that you get away from the Lord and you get back under His preaching and you get this old human nature, you know, this old human part of us, we get distracted. But whenever you get into the Word and it grows in there and all, it gets to a point where you know you're saved. You know you're going to glory. You know what the Lord's done for you. And it just shines out there, and it kind of aggravates some people, and you have to be careful and not flaunt it or whatever, you know, but just to use it as God gives it to you out there to witness to them. I don't know how much that guy thought about if I become president. I'd know I was president if he connected those two about eternal security or not. But it was something the Lord gave me to put out there, that engrafted Word. In verse 22, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Hearers and doers. "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. A lot of times folks, the Lord saves them and they've been under preaching and they think, man, I've just got to run out and tell everybody, and then you hit you. Well, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures. Don't know a whole lot of Bible. I don't know a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that. But they want to be doers. And I encourage them to be doers. You know how they can be doers? If they've just been born again, the Lord just saved them, how they can be doers. They know what the Lord done to them. They know there's a new creature inside. They know, they can tell people about that. And they can say, I don't know about all the scriptures and stuff, but maybe they'll know what the Lord used to bring that conviction and show them that they lost and undone and He saved them. Maybe they can get that much, but whether they can get that much or not, if the Lord has saved them, they've got something to do with. You see, and they can tell that person, Lord willing, I'll be in church from this day till I die. Oh, if a newborn baby in Christ can just be encouraged and be to just go ahead and tell it. I heard a guy preacher that took newborn babes in Christ and whatever, if he was around and the Lord saved them in His presence, you know, and that kind of stuff. He'd always encourage them whenever he was with somebody. He'd tell that newborn babe, tell them what happened to you. Tell them what happened to you. You know, share with them. It's kind of like what Brother Cecil all asked Andy to tell the other night. You know, tell what the guy told you to do whenever you got out of prison. You know, whenever you got, tell, you know, that's what Brother Cecil Law's done. Encourage that new, you know, I don't know how new Brother Andy is in the Lord and those kind of things. But we need to encourage us to be doers, you know. Don't be afraid to tell what's happened to you. You may not be able to quote this or that. Don't, you know, tell them that, what a glorious thing. And we'll all go through different things. Well, I just felt like I was floating and I, you know, and you get to, but you always want to bring them back to the Lord, save me. You know, and sharing them the Word out there. And by the grace of God, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to be a doer. I want to be all those kind of things. And the last part of verse 22 always kind of stirs my thinking, deceiving your own self. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, what good is it if I leave this place this week and I go home and I just have absorbed all this stuff? I just absorbed all the good preaching, good singing, and all that I have, and I don't tell anybody about it. Oh, I'll be filled up, you know. I'll be boiling over and all those kind of things. But if I tell the folks around me, what does that do? That takes God's Word out there, that engrafted Word, and that spreads it out, and that gives it to people around, and it'll be an encouragement and a building up and a edifying and those kind of things. But if I say, man, I'm just going to hoard all this in, I deceive, you know, deceiving yourselves, not doing it. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his own way, or goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he said. If any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face. A hearer and not a doer. After a while, that good preaching I've heard this week and all, if I just keep it inside, just a hearer only, It just doesn't, I don't do any growing with it, you see. As if I give it away, if I spread it around, it has an impact not only on me, but on the people that receive it, you see. They can see that twinkle in my eye. They can see that joy in my countenance whenever I go to say, you know, Brother Cecil Fayard, he preached so and so and so and so. Brother Arthur Blevins, he preached so and so and so and so. And man, you know. Brother Wayne had the young people up and all telling how they done that and the testimony of Kevin and Andy. And oh, if I share that out there, what it'll do, you see. What it'll do. It's important that we share those good things the Lord gives to us and pass it on out there. For verse 24, beholding himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forgetteth what manner of man he was. That gets you to thinking, doesn't it? Hearers and doers. Hearers and doers. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you look over there in verse 12 of that next chapter, you see about that law of liberty again mentioned. Perfect law of liberty. That kind of got my attention, and I'm going to be looking at that more as the Lord allows me to have time on this old earth, the perfect law of liberty there. But you get to thinking about that, and you get to thinking about all the laws that are in America and those kind of things, and some of them are not real good ones, and it gets you to thinking. But look at it. Continueth therein. Perfect law there. Continuing therein and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Baptists are labeled to have a license to sin. Baptists are people that the world looks at that we can do anything because we're bound for glory anyway. We need to emphasize the working part of it too, you see. It's hard to not go to seed on just grace and saved by grace and all, and it's hard to get the balance and keep the balance. If you as a Baptist, if I go to talking too much about works, well, I'll be labeled, well, he's adding works to salvation. If you keep it right and all, you got to see that Baptist, I've got to do some working. You know, I've got to do some, not that to save me. You know, I'm saved and secure and all those kind of things. But if I don't do some working, you're going to look at me out there and I'm just going to be like the rest of the world. You won't know if I'm lost or saved because of my action. But if I'm doing some working, the Lord is going to be changing some things about David Stewart. And there's going to be a difference out there. And the people that you're around, you know, Brother David, he used to would have gone and He used to have talked this way. He used to would have done this. So if the working's in there, you're going to change, and people are going to see it. And it's there, folks. The Scripture teaches work. It teaches hear what the Lord says and do. And as you hear what He says and do, you're going to be working, and it's going to be changing. It's going to be having an impact on people. And you still can tell them about grace. You can tell them about Ephesians 2:8-9 that you're saved by grace. There's not a thing that you've done that the Lord. He looked down and he. Why did he pick up old David Stewart? I don't know. It don't make any difference. He just did. He just did you the same way if you're saved, you see. And he's got you sealed up and you're perfect, but he's got a work for you to do. He's got a work for me to do. And I wish there was some way that we could get to get our folks to realize that being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is doing something. I just warm a pew. Oh, folks, you don't just warm a pew. Oh, you've honored your Lord and Savior. You've done what He told you to do. And you have impacted somebody out there in the world because they know you're going to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And it has an impact on people if you're living for the Lord. I realize I can come in here and sit on a pew and maybe fool y'all. I realize that. But if you sit under the preaching of God's Word, at some point, sometime, hopefully the Lord will have mercy on you and change you. You see. If I come to church and I go out and live like the devil, I'm just what it says, a hypocrite, you know. I'm trying to fool you and it just don't work. But if I hear that perfect law of liberty and I get out there and I do it, if a man in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, no, I was in verse 25 somewhere along there, but if I'm in here and hearing the Word and I'm not out there doing it, I'm not doing the work, you see. And Baptists need to wake up. I need to wake up as a pastor and all to encourage us to not be hearers only, just a receiver of all this good singing and preaching, but a doer of it. Taking it out there.
Amen.
Except you repent. Except you, you know, and let them see the life that the Lord has made in you. Now, the next verse, look at here. It says, if any man among you, verse 26, seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. We talk about religion not being in good and all. And most of it, you know, if it's not the Lord's religion, it is not any good. If it's not the Lord's, it's not any good. If any man, now this gets a little sticky and all. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You got to look at David. You got to look at everybody around. And if all I'm doing is talking, and it bothers me, folks, whenever I get around somebody, that it doesn't make any difference what you say, what you go to tell about. I've already done it. I've done it longer than you have. I've done it better than you have. And it doesn't make any subject what you bring. That tells me something. He's not bridling his tongue. And it talk about not being judges and those kind of things. But here's the scripture says, if any man be among you, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, we got to make those judgments or decisions or whatever. If a brother has got a loose tongue and it don't take long that you kind of move away from that brother, you know, if he is a brother, you know. Get you to thinking along those lines, you know. But it says here, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Right.
It's vain, you know. It almost says he's probably lost, you know. It's vain. Why? He doesn't bridle his tongue. He doesn't control. He doesn't do what the Lord... He's not a doer of God's Word. He's not a... he's not one out there to preach and teach and to encourage and those kind of things. His religion is vain. Now watch this, verse 27, pure religion. So there is a religion that's pure, isn't there? Pure religion. This gets a little bit and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Encourage that one that's got a loose tongue. Say, here's what we need to be doing. Your religion will stand out whenever you're doing, instead of all the talking. I told a young man back in Texas that came, he'd gotten in trouble and is pretty rowdy in the community and wound up in prison serving time, and he got out on probation and those kind of things, and he came to the church, and he had been in Bible study there in the prison and those kind of things, and he just talking and talking and talking religion, you know, talking scripture, but you could tell it was a lot of wind. And I looked at him, got him off to the side one day, and I says, brother, these folks don't want to hear that. You say, well, you didn't know to shut him up from talking that way. Listen to me. what they needed to see out of this young man. He could go do that talking where he wasn't known. But that community, those people in that community, needed to see him acting upon that change. They didn't need to hear this coming out of him, because all they had seen and heard of him before was the meanness and all that he has done. And now he was claiming to be a changed person and claiming to be saved and those kind of things. If he would have shut his mouth up and stood and was in church every Sunday service, out there doing what he's supposed to be doing, working at a job and those kind of things, that would have said more to that community than all his words coming out of his mouth. He goes out to another church somewhere, he could preach that word out of his mouth. It was good scriptures, good, you know, all of those was good things coming out of his mouth. But it wasn't good for that community because they knew his reputation. To change his reputation, and all he needed to shut up, get a job, stay with it, and no matter what come along, whenever the bad people come around him wanting to go, I'm sorry, I've got a job, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. That would have spoke volumes to that community. They said, he's really got it. The Lord really made a difference in his life. His religion wouldn't be vain anymore. It would have been a true thing. We need to point that out. Notice it says that to visit the fatherless and the widows, those are pretty easy things to do. You know, those are pretty easy things to do, to visit the fatherless and the widows. This next part is a tough one, isn't it? This next part it comes back to that fighting I talked about the other night. You know that we have to fight that sin, that cycle sin that I mentioned earlier. You have to be, hey, this day's coming up, this time's coming up, and this old sin. You have to start getting ready, you know, and say, how am I going to get away from this one? You know, that last part of that says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Keep himself unspotted. Comes back to Baptists needing to work, doesn't it? Comes back to Baptists not being ashamed and not being afraid to say, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I'm saved by grace. I know I'm sealed up. The Holy Spirit sealed me. I know that if I died today and if I was doing something bad that day, I'd still be saved. I know that. But the scripture says that I've got to do some things. If I'm going to stay unspotted, I've got to turn away from that bad thing, haven't I? Right. I've got to be praying that I'll die being unspotted. I'll die fighting that cycle sin that I talked about. I'll die determined to give God honor and glory and live for Him. Right. Oh, if we can get it in our hearts and our mind and let the world see that Baptists believe that we got to keep ourselves unspotted. And they say, well, why won't you? That'll put a spot on me. And they may laugh at you or whatever, you know. But if the Lord save me and I go do ungodly things and I are partakers of ungodly things, it puts a spot on me. And the scripture says I'm supposed to stay unspotted. Stay out of the world. Stay. Oh, listen. It's a fight, but it's worth the fight. You say, oh, well, I don't really have to worry about it because I'm saved and I'm going to glory. What's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Is every one of us here likes to be winners. Every one of us likes to better and those kind of things. So why wouldn't we want to have something to lay at Jesus' feet whenever we get to His throne? And I realize we might be, and take this to heart and take this to mind over in the gospel where it talks about that the Lord was said, you fed me, I was in prison, you visited me, I was this and this and this and all this kind of thing. And they said, when did we do that? When did we do that? They didn't know that they were doing it. They were doing the good things. They were doing the right things. They didn't know it. If we follow the words, we're going to be out there doing it. But it's just going to be part of us, you know. Why? Because the Lord saved us and we're trying to honor and glorify Him. We're trying to stay unspotted from the world. And a lot of times we don't realize that that's what's taking place, you know. It's good to know the Lord and to see Him working and feeding us and those kind of things. Verse 1 of chapter 2. My brethren, have not faith of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person. My brethren, have not the faith. Now look at that. Have not the faith of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, if you just pull that out and said, well, what, that don't sound really good, but you read the rest of it and you tie it all together. But I keyed in on that. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my faith. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed his Father whenever his Father sent him down here. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to person. With respect to person. Anybody that comes across our path, folks, we ought to be willing to give the gospel out to them. It don't make any difference if they got a needle in their arm. Listen to me. It doesn't make any difference. I had a young man not too many months ago come to the house and the Lord's called me to preach, and I could tell that there's another spirit ruling that brother. If he claims to be a brother, that's all I got to go on, but he's going through a rough time. And I just, you know, you just wait. You just listen. And you just keep on reading that word, is what I told him. That's what I pointed him back to. That's what I said. Keep on reading this word. He's got to do some fighting to get that spot off, you see. He's got to, if the Lord don't come down and just pull all that out of him, and he hasn't yet, the Lord hasn't done it yet, and I realize that the Lord is capable of that. We've seen, as we read the scriptures, how he delivered people from devils and those kind of things, how he's that powerful. But he don't always do it. He didn't come and take Paul's issue away from him, whatever it was, just zing like that. In fact, he says, you're just going to have to endure it. Paul, my grace is sufficient. I'll take you through it. So I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this young man, but I pointed him back to the Word. It would have been easy to say, oh, you get out of here, this, you know, and all those kind of things, and because of the situation and all. But we need to realize that not to have respect to person. We don't know how much of this Word is going to get into that and pass that other spirit that's working in there.
Right.
You see, I don't know anyway. Maybe I shouldn't include y'all in it, but you never know what Lord gives you, and it gets to give to somebody else that you know is not where they're supposed to be.
That's right.
Somewhere down the way, it may come back to them, you know, well, so-and-so said, so-and-so. Have no respect to person. With the Lord's faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't say, well, that one's black, that one's red, that one's yellow. I'm just going to witness to the Gentile people. We'll just go that way. I started to say the Jews, but we're more, you know, maybe we'll just say, well, I'm just going to witness to the Gentile people. If I run across a Jew, I'm not going to witness to a Jew. Oh, witness to anybody. Give them, you know, whatever you get a chance to. Have no respect to person. Now watch this. For if they come unto you as assembly, into your assembly, a man with a gold ring in a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand thou therefore, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Mm-mm. We do that from time to time, and I hope we'll divorce ourselves from that thinking. If President Bush comes in here, and the worst drug addict you have here in the, I'll probably not say this right, Forest Hill, or, you know, if they both walk in the door, and I treat Mr. Bush better than I treat the drug addict, I've got a problem. I've got a problem. And I realize President Bush's position and those kind of things. But if they walk into this assembly, I shouldn't say, now, Mr. President, you come on up here and have this seat up front. You drug addict, you find that. You go back in the nursery back there. We don't even want to see you. What's my thinking? Mr. Bush is able to do something better than that drug addict back there. I got a problem, folks. But this old human nature, it allows that, we allow it, I guess you'd say, or something to, whenever we get instructions from God's Word that says don't do that, then that tells me that I've got to fight a battle and say, I'm sorry, you may be dressed all up and you notice that gay clothing there. That's kind of stood out to me as we're in this day and age that we're living in and all. But we tend to think, man, that guy can help me financially. Man, he can give some money to the missions. He can give some money to the church. He can do some many mighty things. The Lord says, wake up. Don't be respecter. Don't think that way. Don't do that way. You know, we do it though. We need to ask forgiveness and say, it doesn't make any difference whether he's rich or poor. He walks through those doors. He's on level ground. And if the president thinks he's better than the drug addict, we need to just pour a little bucket of water on him or something, you know, to make him realize that that's not the case. You know, he's got a position, but he's not better. His blood is red that runs through him. He is born totally depraved and not able to, you know, just, we need to think, folks. We need to think and we need to see, well, what the Lord told me to do. How's He told me to react to people? How's He instructed me? How has He guided me? How are we going to know it? You say, well, you'll tell me later on. Get in that Word, because there's a lot of that stuff. I don't know about you, as I've read through the Bible a couple of times and all, but I tell folks often, I said, somebody's been writing in my Bible. First time I read through that, I didn't see that passage. Somebody must be writing in my Bible. That's where we get our learning and all. Don't just count on Brother Wayne or the Sunday school teachers and all those kind of things. Take their words that they say that encourage you to get in that Word. Get in it too and see what He says. Oh, what a difference it'll help you. I realize I'm not a reader, folks. I have to fight to get in there. I can get out there and piddle on the farm and do those kind of things and all that, but I have to make myself get in this book. It's a battle for me, but it's been a good battle. It's been a beneficial battle. It's been what little bit I've got out of it. The Lord has used it to help me and to grow me and to change me and to give some things guidance and stuff. Don't just count on the Sunday morning, Sunday night. Count on His Word every day. We've been blessed in America that we can open it up. You know, there's some countries that don't have it. You know, they have to fight to get God's Word. They have to fight to get a Bible. They have to, in America, we've got one on every table and those kind of things, and we don't use it like we should at home. The two come in, don't have respect. Are you partial in yourselves and have become judge of evil thoughts? You know what the evil thought is, and we don't think of it, but as evil thoughts. We look, well, we're struggling financially. It'd be good for that. You know, we get God's in charge of the finances too. You see? I heard Brother Wayne talking about the Sunday school class that they're talking about finances. And we need some guidance in finances. We need some instructions in finances and stuff. And those kinds of things. God's in charge of it. But my thinking needs to realize that the two folks that's walked in need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the gospel preached to them. That's what they need. I don't need anything from those two folks. Independent Forest Hill Baptist Church here, this church don't need anything from those two. Our goal is not to have a big bank account. The Lord allows that and all. He give you wisdom on how to spend it and all those kind of things. You know, but our goal is to get the gospel to the world. Get the gospel to those two that walked in. It's not to get to the one that is dressed and appears to have, now get a hold of that, appears to have a lot of money. That appearance sometimes will get you, you know. It's not always how they dress, you know, it looks like they might have a lot of money, but our goal is not to get to the money, it's to get the gospel to the souls. Amen. The Lord might save them and all. Whenever the Lord gives you money, look in Proverbs and around and search out how to spend that money, how to use it. He wants us to use it wisely. He wants us to use it in a way that will honor and glorify Him. It's not that we don't have to have it to pay the light bills and those kind of things and to raise our children. We have to have it. But our goal is when two people walk into church, two people walk into your life, don't pick the one that's got the upty look and the riches over the one that doesn't have them. Just look at them both that they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's evil for me to think, well, I'll buddy up to President Bush because he's got the money. That's an evil thought. That's bad thinking on my part. And the Lord says, don't do it. Are ye not then partial? Verse 4. Listen in verse 5. Hearken now. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Who's he chosen? You know, who's he chosen? This same friend that I was telling you about at work that couldn't stand my salvation assurance had the idea that if you was rich, and I never did get to find out what he considered rich. You know, I never did get to find out, well, if you got X dollars, then you're rich. But he figured any rich man, and if I could ever got his decided, I'd know who was going to hell and who wasn't in the rich classified. You know, but I never could get. But he said, if you're rich, you can't get there because you can't get through that eye of the needle. The Lord didn't tell us that if we was rich, we couldn't be saved, that he wouldn't save us and stuff. You know, it's not saying that. He's trying to get a point across to me not to make a decision on those two that walk in, one rich and one not rich. He's trying to get me to realize the gospel is what needs to get out there. The gospel is what needs to go out to them. Don't choose the rich because, well, that's going to benefit me. God, hearken, my brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world? He chooses those things that we look at and say, oh, that won't be, you know. We look at President Bush, man, if I can get him, we can get some dollars in here. We can help the missionaries over in wherever it might be. And while we could give Brother Ted Tweet, you know, we could just fix him right up, you know, financially down there. Lord, don't look at it that way. He takes the old drug addict back there, saves him, and next thing you know, he's got $1 million, and now we're still helping Brother Ted out. You see? The Lord's in charge, and he takes those things that we look at and we see from a human standpoint that just blows our minds, you know. That's why it's so exciting But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. We get in a battle with the city around here or the government, who's going to win it? They probably are, because why? They've got our tax dollars coming in, and my money runs out before theirs, you see. They can starve me out or whatever, and what we're fighting for, whatever, is right, you know. You're right about what you're fighting for and all, but you just don't have the finances to keep going on. You just don't, you know. The rich, so pick the poor guy, I guess. Pick the poor guy. Now you preach the gospel and let the Lord do the picking, right? Preach the gospel and let the Lord do the picking, and don't worry about it. Verse 7, and we're going to come to close here. And it says, do not they blaspheme thy worthy name by which ye are called the rich. What do they think about it? Do you realize, and I know you do, you've heard some of the news reports, that there are now taking and declaring some church grounds and stuff eminent domain. They're doing it because the church is not paying taxes. They're not an income source for the city. They're not a revenue source for the city. The rich, and again, I mentioned earlier about the Lord still saves rich folks. You've heard of some that give 90% and live on the 10% of those that the Lord has blessed, and those they knew what they were doing. But overall, what are the folks thinking about you and me that stand for Jesus, stand up and live for Him? What's the world? They're kind of wanting to put a silencer on us, aren't they? Kind of wanting to put us back in all. They're working for that. Notice they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. Blaspheme that worthy name. I believe it was Brother Arthur there that was telling last night about in a court deal that you didn't mention God's name, and I believe Brother Cecil Fayard was talking about in where that they called on him to pray in court. Open a session in court. Two different parts of the country, you know. It's getting serious, and that's why we need to be doing what James says, doers of the word. Doers of the word, standing on God's word, because they're blaspheming. They're blaspheming the one that has saved your soul. They being the world system out here, folks, the ungodly. And we've got to live amongst this, you know. We've got to live in it. We don't have to be a part of it. And you say, how do you keep from being a part of it? Well, sometimes you wind up in the lion's den. Did I hear that thing click off? Maybe I was wrong. Now we're going to stop here. But I hope we got something to encourage us to be doers, to as Baptists, to be workers, to be appliers of what God has stirred our hearts to do. I hope we take it and realize it, and that we take the people out there that we come across, and we just see them as people that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see them rich. We don't see them poor. We don't see them black. We don't see them white. We don't see them Spanish, and they don't see them Indian. We just see them that they need the gospel, whatever it is. Thank you for listening. Brother Wayne, you...